Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
New York Giants training camp is just around the corner. I know that everybody in Big Blue Nation is looking forward to seeing what the 2024 version of New York Giants is going to look like. I am joined by the entertainer who is going to tell me the top five things that he's looking forward to during training camp. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. I've got a giant issue. And welcome back. I am Coach Gene Clemens, as before, New York Giants on SI. Make sure that before we get started that you go ahead and subscribe to the channel, the YouTube channel, New York Giants on SI. Make sure that you hit that notification bell so that every day you see where this podcast is uploaded. And if you can't get to YouTube, make sure you go anywhere that you can get your podcast from to listen to this on your way to work, or if you just need to take a couple of rides around the block because the New York Giants make you mad. It feels like that sometimes, right? I'm joined right now by the entertainer. You all know him. You all love him. One of the Giants super fan, one of the best fans, one of the best people talking New York Giants in the big blue Twitter sphere, if you will. I know a lot of you haven't seen a lot of them lately, and we'll talk about that here briefly, but I really just am thankful that you're able to join me today. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, excited to come on. I've always enjoyed, I think we've had a couple Twitter spaces, that I think Patty organized. Always enjoyed talking to you on there, going back and forth a little bit on Twitter. And yeah, you seem like, you're a good guy, and I'm excited to come on here and talk Giants with you. Excited that you're, starting to focus a bit more on the Giants. You told me you're going to do this daily, so excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for record, this is like my fifth year covering the Giants.
No, I know you've been covering it for a while.
Yeah, but definitely more with our podcast content. You haven't been as active as I was introduced to you some years ago. Can you let us in on why that is? Was that a purposeful choice? Is it just things kind of like, is it life-lifing, or why haven't we seen more to entertain us lately?
A little bit of both. I used to do this full time, and then I took a step back. I got a job. I have a full time job with the government now, and this I look at more as a hobby that I still take seriously, but I just don't do it as frequently. So I used to, and I got to a point where I wasn't enjoying it as much anymore because I felt like I had to force content. Because when you do this full time, as a lot of people know that do this full time, you kind of have to try to come out with content year round, every day. And I got to a point where I felt like I was forcing things. I wasn't enjoying it. And I said to myself, I'm going to do this when I feel I want to, which for me after the draft, it's not very interesting until such time training camp comes around, which is why I actually dropped my first video yesterday after since the draft. Because training camp's 10 days away, obviously Hard Knocks. So that's exciting as a Giants fan. So I talked about that, but yeah, it's just scaling it back a little bit, but during the season, not quite as active as I used to be. I don't make videos every day, but I still certainly talk about this team pretty regularly.
I want to get into this because I know that everybody goes into training camp with expectations, things that they would like to see, things they would like to watch unfold. I want to go through the five things that you are looking forward to seeing when the Giants take the field for training camp. And I want to go old school 5-1. So give me your number five thing that you are looking forward to seeing.
Number five for me, and I'm going to talk exclusively about, you know, the position groups here, but I mean, obviously I'm excited about Dable and the coaching staff, and Brasillo kind of factor into the offensive line, which I'm sure we're going to talk about with these top five. But number five for me is going to be the secondary. That to me is probably the biggest question mark on this team from a position group standpoint going into training camp, because there are so many young faces in that secondary. You're asking now Deontay Banks to be the number one, more than likely. We'll see if they add a veteran corner before the season gets going. You have a rookie there in Tyler Newbin, who now is replacing Xavier McKinney, who a lot of Giants fans weren't happy that we let go to the Green Bay Packers. So for me, that's my biggest concern, especially on the defensive side of the football. Although I do think we're going to have a completely different type of defensive philosophy where we really prioritize the front seven. I think that's what the new defensive coordinator is going to bring to the table for this defense. It's a completely different strategy than that of Wink Martindale. We're not going to blitz nearly as much. We're going to try to win up at the point of attack. But still, that's a major question mark for me. So the rookie Newbin, Deontay Banks year two, some of the younger corners, who's going to step up? Trey Hawkins, perhaps someone like that. So I'm excited for that. Cordell Flott, those guys, see how those guys do a training camp, because that's a major question mark for me on the defensive end.
I think it was Emory Hunt that talked about the philosophy or the type of cornerbacks that the New York Giants seemed to be targeting in this regime. They all kind of look the same, the long, rangy, athletic type of cornerbacks. And so I actually, just because they're unknowns, I think that there's a lot of trepidation about what they can be. But Cordell Flott was never a slot corner to me. And so like, it's not a diss against Flott. I wrote about this. Moving Cordell Flott back outside, where he can just focus on coverage, which is where he excelled in the slot, there's no reason why I don't believe he can be just as good on the outside, right? Like, not even adequate. He was lining up against elite receivers in the slot and running like step for step. So I think another year of progress, the battery that's been put in his back now, because he's kind of been anointed as the number two cornerback with Banks. I think it'll be good for him. But if not, there's a bunch of young dudes that kind of are cloned just like him that are all waiting to kind of get their turn. So the thing that I'm looking to see is how the breakup is going to be with Isaiah Simmons playing position. Mm. And then when he goes in, to inside to replace Micah McFadden on passing downs, who's going to come in as the next nickel? Is it going to be Holmes? Is it going to be Andrew Phillips? Like, I think those are really interesting to me.
Yeah, they actually talked about that, I think, in the first episode of Hard Knocks, how they envisioned using Isaiah Simmons, which a lot of people were a little surprised when they brought Simmons back. Even though I like Simmons, he just seemed like a much better fit for a Wink Martindale style defense. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how they implement Simmons into this defense. But yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with Flott. I'm a guy that I need proof before, I like Deontay Banks a lot. I love the pick. It's the guy I wanted 2 years ago when the Giants were on the clock. I thought he fit the Wink Martindale defense perfectly. Like you said, kind of that cookie cutter man press cover corner, tall, lengthy, athletic, long arms. but he's never been asked to be a number one, at least consistently. Cordell Flott, yeah, he has definitely shown glimpses. One play that comes to mind, I remember against the Minnesota Vikings in the playoff game, he came up with a huge play. I think it was against Justin Jefferson late in that game, if I'm not mistaken. So he has definitely shown glimpses of having potential. And obviously a guy the Giants believed a lot in. They took relatively early in the draft, a round or two before most people expected him to go. So we'll see. We'll see if these guys step up. I feel a little bit more comfortable as a fan if they were to add some kind of veteran before the start of training camp or before the start of the season. And I think they will. I still think they're going to, just to bring some veteran leadership because it's so young back there in that secondary.
Your number four thing, the fourth most important thing that you're looking to see here in training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw it in there, even though I think it's a lock, obviously, no pun intended, because he's the other quarterback. but I think Daniel Jones is going to be the starter, provided he's healthy. But I still think the quarterback position as a fan is something you're always going to look at, especially when you've got Daniel Jones coming off the injury that he's had. He's had three major injuries in the last 2 years. So you want to see how he looks. The Giants, I guess, turned up the pressure a little bit by bringing in Drew Lock. But I think most people think if Jones is healthy, he's clearly going to get the first crack. But I'm still excited to see how Jones does. Now he finally has a real, true number one wide receiver. Last year, Darren Waller was his first, I guess you could say, true number one option. But Neighbors, to me, is a guy that projects to be probably a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL almost immediately. That's how high I am on him. And I think adding him to this offense, Jones now year three with this regime, can he finally take that step that Giants fans have been hoping he could since he's gotten the job? I have my doubts, but still excited to see, you know, what he can mold up this year.
I want to present some pushback to you, but I don't want to do it because I don't know what your other three is, but you just told me you want to see them do it before you're ready to jump on top of it. You said that with Flop, but now you're telling me Malik Neighbors is a top 10.
Well, no, I'm not saying he is. I think
projected to be. You know, yeah, you're projected. Already. Yeah. You're all. Yeah. I need to see it too because he's.
I get it.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see because the one thing we do know about Drew Lock is Drew Lock's going to push the ball vertically. Like yeah. Drew Lock won't be afraid to throw a pick. And so that'll be interesting to see exactly how much we see the vertical passing game implemented early in training camp. And that's gonna obviously be on the shoulders of these quarterbacks. Daniel Jones being willing to let the ball go. Drew Lock, when he does let the ball go, if it's going where it's supposed to go. And then obviously Tommy DeVito, letting the ball go in a timely manner so that he doesn't have to try to throw the ball 70 yards in order to throw a bomb pass. So that'll be an interesting place. Your number three
for training. Yeah, number three, I'm going to go with Neighbors and just the wide receiving core in general. But obviously most Giant fans are going to be really excited to see the rookie, the number six overall pick, a guy that it's impossible not to have the comparisons to Odell Beckham, even though I don't think he's necessarily a carbon copy of Odell Beckham. He's explosive. He's young. We drafted him early out of the same college. It's going to come. The pressures are going to come with him being that high of a pick. And I expect him to be the most explosive receiver we've had since Odell Beckham. I don't expect him to duplicate what Beckham did his first 3 years in the league, which he had a record-breaking start. Nobody had ever done what he did. I'm not going to set those kind of expectations, but certainly a guy that I think could change this offense. Like, I feel like he's a guy that I don't expect this to be the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills offensively, but I think a team that was completely anemic in terms of having the ability to create chunk plays, big plays. Now you have a guy, in my estimation, that could turn a 5 yard out into a 50 yard touchdown. Like, he's capable of doing that. And I think you need players like that in today's NFL. So I'm really excited to see how much he can change this offense this year.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing Neighbors as well. I want to see him, like we said, I want to see him actually get his feet wet in real football, real NFL football. But I'm excited about the entire wide receiver core.
100%.
I really, and I know I've been the only one banging the drum on this, but I really do think you guys just discredit Slayton all the time.
When you guys say that
Neighbors is his first true number one, is Daniel Jones' first true number one. This dude has been over here watching Daniel Jones not hit him on wide open balls. Like, we can say everything we want about drops, but if you go and look at the drop percentages of all the top receivers in the league, it's not that great. I mean, like you're going to drop balls. Like, and one of the things that I think is interesting is Malik Neighbors can't be a number one wide receiver getting 95 targets. So I'm really excited about the receiving core as a whole. And we haven't even talked about Jalen Hyatt, who I think is another guy who can be a stretch the field type of player for them. So,
yeah, I view Hyatt. I'm not as high. I don't want to say I'm not high on Hyatt. I am, but he's a guy. I have more faith in Neighbors. I feel like he's a more complete wide receiver, but I think Hyatt is going to be the guy, and I think they intended to do this when they drafted him. He's going to be the guy that eventually replaces Darius Slayton. That's what I think is going to happen. I think they have. I'm not saying this year. I project Slayton to be, at least going into the year, is going to be the projected starter at that spot. But I think Hyatt eventually projects to be the guy that replaces Slayton. They'll probably move on from Slayton at the end of this year. But overall, I think that wide receiving core has a ton of potential. I think Wandell is really good. I think he's matter of fact, it's funny because when the Giants drafted Wandell, it was probably the most scrutinized pick of that draft that Joe Shane made. A lot of people were like, he's similar to Kadarius Toney, which obviously we later found out that they traded him. It's a bit early. He's small. He's turned out to be, so at least thus far, it's early, but he's turned out to be one of Joe Shane's best picks, in my opinion. He's just got to stay on the field. But I think Wandell paired with Neighbors, paired with Slayton, like you said, paired with Hyatt. I'm not going to say it's an elite core, but it's certainly, I think in 2 years since Shane's taken this job, the Giants have gone from one of the worst receiving cores when he first initially took the job to at least league average, which that's pretty good. That's a big improvement since the 2 years since Shane's taken the job in that specific positional group.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm overly high on Hyatt. I think Hyatt is Slayton light.
Yeah,
Slayton light. I think Wandell is interesting, but for all of the flash that Wandell brings, we're going to need more production.
He's got to stay healthy.
We're going to need more production. We're going to need more out of him. But I think as a unit, if Slayton's your two and Wandell's your three.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Hyatt Shafour, that's not a bad, that's not a bad group, right? Yeah. Especially if Malik Nabers is who we think he's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Like if we, if he is who we think he is, then they've got a number one. They're locked. They're set. Even if you lose Slayton, you bring kind of, you know, Hyatt, if he ascends to that, that level, now you're still good there. You'll probably add another person in the draft, you know, that kind of thing. And then you still have your big body guys on the outside that I really want to see how those, how that position shakes out, those big body dudes that they have out there.
And I'll throw in another name, and he's a rookie. So again, I don't, and he's not like a first round pick. So I don't want to set the bar too high, but Theo Johnson's a guy I'm excited about too, who I think could, he could be a playmaker in this offense. I believe that. Yeah.
Emory Hunt thinks that he's going to, he was a steal for the Giants. Yeah. I still have my trepidations about guys who don't block well. And so like I need to see him be able to block somebody, because right now the Giants have half the tight end room that are strictly blockers and the other half that are essentially pass catchers, and that that never works. You need somebody to be able to do both at a pretty decent level. He has the body to do it, right? He has the frame. He is an impressive specimen when he walks into the when he walks onto the field. But he's definitely got to get better with that run blocking. All right, we're down to the top two.
Yeah,
right. Give me your number two thing that you're looking forward to seeing.
I think it's the most important positional group on a football team. I'm not going to list it one just because I'm so excited about the other positional group that we're going to go over at number one. So number two for me is offensive line. Last year, the Giants had the worst offensive line in football. Like they gave, I think they gave up the second most sacks in the history of the NFL in a single season, only to the Philadelphia Eagles, which was like in 1970 something. Like they gave up like over 90 sacks, which is insane. And obviously some of that falls on the quarterback. I'm not, you know, like you said, Tommy DeVito holds onto the ball way too long. Daniel Jones, I'm sure, you know, took a number of sacks that he shouldn't have taken, but regardless, the second most sacks in the history of football is the second most sacks in the history of football. The offensive line was pitiful. You bring in Carmen Brasillo. We hope that he could have some kind of impact positively with this offensive line. People were ragging about our offensive line coach for the last couple of years. So hopefully that change could help improve the offensive line. They bring in a couple of free agents. We'll see how Runyon, Illuminor, how those guys get implemented into the offense. I think if this offensive line is going to take the jump though, obviously coaching is going to play a major factor, but I think JMS has to take a major jump year one to year two. I never like to set the expectations way too high for a rookie, but I was expecting a bit more out of him year one just because he was 25 years old. He's not your typical 21, 22-year-old rookie. So he's a guy that I think needs to take a big jump this year. He was dinged up a bit last year as well. And Evan Neal was the major key last year, at least for me, on that offensive line specifically. He failed miserably. He has to get much better. And what I'm interested to see, it's clearly obvious that Neal's going to get the crack at the right tackle to start. But if he's struggling, do the Giants have a quick hook with him? Are they willing to make an adjustment week four, week five into the season if he looks as poor as he did last year early on? So that's the major question mark for me. And I'm excited to see if this offensive line could finally start to, I guess, have a positive trend, something that they haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, I think fans specifically have conveniently made Neal worse than he really is.
Yeah.
I think and not necessarily saying that's what you're doing, but I think that there's a because of the way, like because he had some sacks that were like glaring, you know what I'm saying? Like really like, gosh, you just got beat, like that type of thing. Yeah. I think it exacerbated a thought on him that he just doesn't ever, you know, like make blocks. And when you look at the way in which football works, like doesn't have to look pretty. It just has to be effective. And there's plenty of tape on him. I've done video breakdowns of him versus Max Crosby, where he holds his own the entire game. I did video breakdowns on him versus Nick Bosa, which he held his own the entire game. If you remember in that San Francisco game, they only gave up two sacks. Neither one of them came from him. They came up the middle.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you ask me where I am most concerned at, it's did they address that middle?
Yeah.
Because the middle was atrocious. Like
awful.
Like if people want to talk about Neil being bad, go back and look.
Oh, share the the responsibility on the middle was awful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so like I think that if Runyon is who they think he can be, and if Illuminor is who he can be, they were brought in for pass blocking. They weren't brought in for run blocking because neither one of them are elite level run blockers.
Yeah.
Like if you're just going to run block, you just keep the two North Carolina guys in there because those guys are better run blockers. They clearly were brought in for pass blocking. My issue is, will they be able to gel with JMS, who I agree with you, needs to take a major step in pass blocking because this team is going to throw the ball, right? That's why they made the moves that they've made. If that can happen, I think Neil will be fine out there. Will he be Andrew Thomas on the right side? Probably not, because, you know, Andrew Thomas is one of the best tackles in the game.
I just want to be average.
Be a guy who's not a turnstile.
Exactly. Yes. I just need Neil to be average. I'm not. I haven't completely given up on the guy. I think he. You know, we took him seventh for a reason. He was as highly thought of as he was for a reason. I think there's still potential, hopefully, for him to turn into what, maybe not warrant the seventh overall pick, but a guy that is certainly a capable right tackle, which is all I'm asking for this year. Just don't be like you said. Don't be a turnstile. Evan Neal is actually really, I would say, at least slightly above average in terms of a run blocker. That's not the issue for me, at least. He has a slow break a lot of times. He's slow out of his stance, and a lot of times, like, you know, they take advantage of him off the edge. So,
oh, for sure. But that's the type of thing you get when you get a 6'9", you know, 300 and a billion pound dude. Like, it's going to be some limitations somewhere. There's a reason why he moved all around. I think it's interesting, though, this offensive line should be deeper, which means that if there are injuries, they should be better prepared to handle that, which is, I think, one of the
I agree with. You're not going to have to play a Zudu, for example, at left tackle this year.
Exactly.
Like
he should have never been moved to left tackle,
yeah,
in my opinion. Like they set him up for failure having him play that position because that's not where he was going to succeed. There was a reason why when you drafted him, you said, hey, he's going to play guard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then you brought him to tackle and it was miserable. Like, talk about a guy who was really bad. Boy, oof.
Yeah.
Zudu at left.
Well, he's playing out of position, like you said.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was bad. And it's a shame because I really do feel like he got set up and then people were like, oh, he's really bad. And I'm like, that's not what he plays. That's not what he's going to do. So, let's pop it off. Your number one thing. I know what it is already.
Yeah.
Not because you told me, but because process of elimination. I've got it.
It's a pass rush. And that's the Giants staple, man, since I've been watching the team. I mean, even before I started watching the team in the early 90s, obviously LT before that. That's the Giants staple, man. That's their bread and butter. When the Giants are at their best, they have one of the strongest units in the NFL at that group. And you bring in a guy like Brian Burns, who I'm really excited about. It's not often that a team is able to acquire via trade or via free agency a 25, 26-year-old, at least very good. I won't go as far to say elite, but at least a very good pass rusher. One of the most important positions on a football team. And now finally, Kayvon is going to have a partner in crime. We all envision that to be Aziz Ojulari, but he couldn't stay on the field. We'll see. Maybe, hopefully, he can this year as a guy that's going to be more of a situational pass rusher. But you bring Brian Burns in, you think about what that could do for this pass rush. I'm excited, man. You got Dexter Lawrence in the middle. Like, suddenly, I'm not going to say they're going to have the best unit in the league, but suddenly I feel the Giants can have a top 10 pass rush in football. And that's how you win football games. That's how this team has won football games in the past. So I'm really excited to see the growth of Kayvon Thibodeaux opposite now a guy like Brian Burns and, of course, Dexter Lawrence, who's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. So I'm really excited about that unit. Very excited. I think it's the strongest unit on this football team.
I would agree. I also think that the linebacker, you know what they're doing up there, that deserves an honorable mention. But this defensive line should be special. It shouldn't like they should. This should be where there's over, like where people should really be thinking about top five in the league.
Yeah,
like you don't bring, and it's not. And you have to think about it this way. It's not based off of what Burns has done. It's based off of what he can do. Now paired him with a guy on the other side who has double-digit sack ability. You've paired him with a guy inside that has double-digit sack ability. And not for nothing, if Phillips ends up being the guy that shakes out as the three technique in this defense, he's a guy who has one-gap penetration and is a big physical three technique that has athleticism. So when you look at that group together, it is really something I'm looking forward to. And what I really want to see is, during obvious passing downs, do they bring Aziz in and maybe play with him playing a little three technique and bring him inside and really do kind of what they used to do with Justin Tuck, back in the days where they would bring Tuck inside and allow him to just wreak havoc inside. I think that would be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be better for Aziz to not be a starter. Hopefully that keeps him healthier. Kayvon not dropping in the coverage would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like having him just rush. And if you're not going to send a lot of pressure from the second level, you can't afford to drop him in the coverage, which I'm really excited about. I think that if there's one thing I'm really bummed about with Wink Martindale, I think he probably cost Kayvon 3 to 5 sacks each season, because he was just dropping them in the coverage on obvious passing.
It was
downs.
A bad fit. It was a bad fit for Kayvon. He didn't. He wasn't a great fit in that type. It's a reason why there's never been a double digit sack guy in Wink Martindale's system. I think Bowen's system is going to be a much better fit for Kayvon, for Burns. I'm excited. I view it more. I think Bowen's philosophy is very similar to Patrick Graham's, but the difference is, Bowen has pass rushers. Graham did not. Graham didn't have this level of talent up at the point of attack. So when you run a system like this, you need that.
I've really been one of the guys that says, hey, we lost the good one in Patrick Graham. Like, I thought Patrick Graham was really good. And if you give him Patrick Graham this defense with this defensive line to work with, I'm still bummed that I can't see a defensive line that has Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams with those two dudes.
Oh,
like, that's what I'm really bummed about. Like, I get it. You couldn't afford to keep them. You got something for them before you lost them for nothing. But man, if I could have gotten those two dudes in there with those two dudes on the outside, and now Aziz literally just being a plug and play on
and
the
Simmons
outside.
Too. Oh, Simmons can rush the passer too. Like,
you'll definitely see him come off of the nickel slot and blitz. Like, that's something Shane Bowen likes to do. It's all over the film with the Titans over the last few years. You'll see him come off the slot and blitz, which will be fantastic because he closes the distance so fast. I am really excited about the defensive line. If you held me down and said which unit you're most excited about seeing, I'm definitely excited about seeing that offensive line, defensive line go at it in training camp.
Yeah, and at least the positive side of me is I like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That strong of a defensive line should only help better prepare the offensive line for the start of the season. So I'm excited for it, man. That's always what I'm most excited about. That to me is where I think games are won and lost. So But especially being that I think that is by far our biggest strength going into the year, the pass rush. So where I'll measure it is, can we finally get some pressure on Dak Prescott? Something we have not been able to do really since Dak's entered the league. So that,
any of the Cowboys quarterbacks. I remember one year Cooper Rush was out there throwing the ball all around. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was the game where Daniel Jones got pressured like every drop back, and Cooper Rush, we couldn't sniff Cooper Rush. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. The Entertainer, I really do appreciate it. Tell everybody where they can follow your stuff at. It's great to see you back up. I'm looking forward to starting to see you amp up your content. It's always a pleasure. You're somebody that I think has the right mindset as a fan, not delusional, not over exaggerating all the time. Although I've seen you go a little crazy.
I'm a fan at the end of the day. I'll be the first to say it. When you come on my channel, you're going to get a biased perspective. I try to, be somewhat realistic, though. I don't want to set the bar way too high. Last year I was wrong. I thought Daniel Jones was going to take a step. There were variables. The line got hurt, but Jones was bad. And hopefully this year I'm going to go in with a much more moderate mindset on Daniel Jones, and hopefully he shocks me. But I'm excited, man. But as far as where people could find me, Entertainer Talking Sports on YouTube. I have a Twitter account, The Entertainer, I believe it is. And I just appreciate coming on here, man. Anytime you want me to come back talk football, let me know. I had a good time.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, man. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have today. Make sure that you're following everything that we do, New York Giants on SI. Make sure that you're subscribing to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're downloading the podcast. Make sure you're reading all of the good, the great, and the uglies that I'm doing over at New York Giants on SI. For the Entertainer, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.